Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.
This is the United States champion.
He became my personal savior.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Now, the Devil's Nightmare. Welcome back to another episode of It's Time to Man Up. And what a honor, what a privilege to have in the studio with me today a man's man, and so grateful he was able to carve some of his time out today to come in. Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, Mark Robinson. Mark, great to have you in the studio today.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. I was excited. I guess maybe, I don't know, about a year ago, I was at a couple different political functions and come across a couple guys. I think maybe some of your handlers. I can't remember for sure, but and it was interesting when they connected dots with your background in wrestling and having, I guess, followed me as a fan in your younger days growing mm-hmm. up. Right now, you grew up in Greensboro. Yes?
I did, in Greensboro.
Okay, right in Greensboro. Yep. And well, for all of our listeners out there that maybe have never are not familiar with you. Give a little backdrop on that, like your family. We were just talking before we came on air about your sons, and tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, again, thank you for having me. I was born and raised in Greensboro, and I actually have really lived my entire life in Greensboro, except for the time that I spent in the Army, and in spent a little bit of time in Randolph County, just for a while, but. My entire life I've lived in Greensboro. I'm number 9 of 10 children. My mom had 10 children.
Wow.
She
okay.
did. My mom was married twice. My mom had 5 children with her first husband, and she had 5 children with my dad.
Wow.
And I'm number 4. I'm number 4 of the second 5.
Okay. So, all right.
And she had she had 5 girls and she had 5 boys.
Wow.
And so interesting fact about my family growing up. My dad, I only remember my father as being a retired person. He was old.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, he was old.
Yeah.
And that's my memories of him. He died in 1979, and I wasn't really too sure about when he was born, and you know, because I didn't know my father very well. Even though he lived in the house with us. But I'll get into that in a minute. But my father, I recently found out that my father was actually born in 1897.
Whoa.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was born in 1897. I was born in 1968. He was 71 when I was born.
Wow.
And I have a younger sister, too. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
he was that. I'm just reminded. We have a camp we do in Georgia, and the caretaker there, Jerome Stratton, has 14 children.
Wow.
42 grandkids, and I forget wow. how many great grandkids. And he'd have more if his wife would let him.
Right.
I'm just
right.
saying. So,
wow.
All right.
Wow.
So 71 when he had.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's an interesting fact. Another interesting fact is I have 2 sisters that I've never met.
Okay.
My two oldest sisters. The one sister, she's passed away, been passed away for a number of years. Mm. I never got to meet her. And then I have another sister named Sharon. Nobody knows where she is. Mm. She has a daughter in Texas who was desperately searching for her to find out what has become of her, but we have no idea where she is, and I've never met her.
So you don't know whether she's still living?
We don't know where she is. My other sisters and brothers, I have a sister in Indiana. I had a brother in Florida. My oldest brother was in Florida. He was in the military. He was in the Army. And he was a bus driver for a number of years in Maryland. And he actually retired from that or left that position, resigned from that position, and moved to Florida and became a pastor. And he was a pastor for decades down in Florida, touched many lives. but he passed away a couple years ago.
Okay.
And then I have two brothers in Greensboro, two sisters in Greensboro, and again, another sister. I have a sister in Indiana.
Okay.
So
now, before we came on air.
Oh, and I have a brother in Wilmington as well.
Wow. So yes. They're all over. They're spread all over. So before we came on air, you mentioned you've got some children of your own.
I do. I have two adult children. I have a son who is 30, about to turn 31, and I have a daughter who is 29, about to turn 30. My daughter is married, and she has two children, a little boy that's 4 and a half I could talk about all day long, and a little girl who's 1 and a half that I could talk about all day long.
That's awesome.
My kids are, of course, adults. They're great. They're great, both of them.
Now, Mark, you told me a story when I came up a while back up to Raleigh and actually met you face-to-face for the mm-hmm. first time. So we had exchanged some text messages and some, I think, different communication pictures and stuff. And I came up there with and you may remember, my pastor, Jay Stewart, and you didn't know we were coming, or you didn't know I was coming. You know he was coming.
Yeah.
You didn't know I was coming. And we were sitting in your conference room there waiting for you to arrive. And I'll never forget when you walked in, you looked over and you kind of froze in your tracks.
Yep.
And you were a bit surprised that the Russian nightmare was sitting in your conference room.
I was pretty shocked. Having grown up, wrestling was always there when I was growing up.
I mean, Greensboro, right? The granddaddy of them all, Starrcade.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I can tell you some stories about wrestling that you may not believe. We had some incredible times at the Greensboro Coliseum.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Hi, Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited to announce the first annual Morningstar Men's Conference, August 25th to the 27th. Our theme, Man Up, It's Time. We have a phenomenal lineup of speakers, including NBA All-Star Al Wood, WWE Superstar Lex Luger, David and Jason Benham, the Benham Brothers, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, world-renowned evangelist Frank Shelton, Chris Reed, Dr. Rick Joyner, of course, yours truly. Get registered early. You do not want to miss this event. Go to mstarevents.com. Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com because you are number one.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
And we had more great times as a family at home watching it on television. So to actually get to meet these folks and see them in person and get to know them, just to get to know them is incredible.
Yeah, and also you were sharing that so recently you got to take go down. There was a WWE Raw show mm-hmm. in Greensboro.
Yep.
And you
yep.
got to take your son and your nephew?
Yes. Is that- my son and my nephew, my wife's sister's son, they got to go with us. And, I was super excited to go because the experience. I know a little bit about how wrestling worked back in the day.
Right.
And back in those times, wrestling was kind of esoteric, so to speak. And
it was
very popular. But it wasn't pop culture back in those days. It's very pop culture now, and it's just big. It's just really big, And my son and my nephew, they both grew up watching a different generation of wrestlers than I did.
Right.
So for them to be able to meet the folks that they grew up watching, to get to see that and see the expression on their faces, it was like them being little kids again.
Because you said your nephew, one of them is a Randy Orton fan.
Oh, he still has a Randy Orton action figure still in the package, refused to open it. And when he met him last night, he just shook his head and said, man, I thought I would never get to meet that dude.
That's awesome. And of course, they treated you like royalty. You got the backstage tour and
they
everything.
They did. They took us on a backstage tour. We got to meet all the stars, and they sat us on the front row. It was great. It was fantastic.
Okay, so who were, and I probably know a few of the names. So you say in your era, and it was a different product, a different business back
yes,
then.
Yes,
in terms of what we presented to the fans, right?
Yes, yes.
It was a lot more organic is the way I phrase it.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I mean, everything from the matches themselves to the interviews to people go back and watch the 80s and 90s crowd reaction.
Yes,
they're like,
yes,
I can't believe, you know, how the crowd reacted. I'm
because
there was still kind of a mystery about it, right?
It was. The whole, what is it called, kayfabe thing was
kayfabe,
still there.
Yes, kayfabe was still in place.
It was still there, and people, you know, people questioned whether or not it was, quote, real.
They didn't know for sure.
But in the midst of it, nobody cared.
Right.
Nobody cared. And I can just remember going to the Coliseum, and the fans would get so into it. I mean, they would get so into it, and it was great. But now it's a different set. It's a different type of environment altogether. Can't say that it's better or worse. It's just different.
It's just different. That's a good way to summarize it. Because, well, and I can say this. When you say the fans were so into it, of course, you know some of these stories already, but I can tell you in the early days of my career, there were legitimately people who loved to hate me.
Oh, yes.
I had a half a dozen different times, five times against the Nature Boy, one time against Magnum TA, that fans literally came over the barricade.
I've seen that.
Yes.
I've seen that.
Tried to come
I've
in the ring that. After me, right?
I've seen that. We saw it several times at the Coliseum.
You witnessed it yourself.
Oh, yeah, I could tell you a story that is a personal story of mine, and we might could get into that if you want to. We could get into that, but if you want me to tell it,
were you format, involved? In,
I was personally involved in it.
You came to the rescue of a good guy.
I did not. I actually caused it.
you caused it.
I was the instigator.
I
was around 12, 13, maybe.
Whatever.
Give us the short version. So here it is. We were at the Coliseum. Ric Flair was wrestling Wall McDaniel for the United States Championship.
Okay.
This is at the time when the United States belt was that red belt with the map, the old map on it.
Yes.
And looked like Wall was going to win the match, but Tommy Young was the referee, and Ric Flair finagled his way out of the ring, got a table leg, hit Wall McDaniel, knocked him unconscious, and pinned him, and climbed out of the ring. The fans went crazy. At this period, I was at wrestling. I was very mischievous. I would get, you could smoke in the Coliseum in that time, and people put their cigarettes out in drink cups. So you'd see these big cups full of cigarette butts and tobacco juice and all kind of stuff. Well, I said, well, I'm going to get this guy. So I ran down to the thing, because I'd thrown several at some of the guys. And
right.
I went down and found me a really good one. He was leaving the ring, and I chucked that thing as hard as I could, and it hit him. It hit him right on his left side. It just splashed all over him.
Yeah.
Man, he saw red, and he came up in the audience. And he grabbed this guy out of the audience, and I mean, he beat the tar out of him.
No.
And the guy was right behind me. So when he beats the tar out of this guy, and it's over, I run out to try to find my sisters and brothers to tell them what happened or ask them to see what happens. I run around the corner to call Sim, and here comes my sister. She's got that belt over her head screaming, I'm the U.S. champ! I'm the U.S. champ! And I said, did you see what happened down there? She said, yeah, Ric Flair was beating the snot out of this guy. And when he did, he threw the belt down, and somebody picked it up and was looking at it, and I snatched it from him and ran.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's a true story. And I told that story to Sergeant Slaughter.
Okay.
And, you know, Sergeant Slaughter actually has that belt, because my sister took that belt as she had it instead of taking it and leaving with it.
Yeah.
Jim Crockett used to stand in the stands.
Yep.
And I guess he gave the wrestlers a signal when to get out of range.
Yep.
She took it and she gave it back to him.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a true story, 100%
true. You do have a story. That's amazing. Yep. Oh, one quick memory of that. Well, there's a lot of great memories in the Greensboro Coliseum for me, but one is a cage match, Starrcade against the Rock and Roll Express when Ivan and I were going to catapult them into stardom. I'll never forget, they win the match. I shove Ricky Morton over the top of the cage. Mm-hmm. He falls all the way out to the floor. I would later find out a guy in the wrestling business came to his rescue, trying to get him back in the cage because of the Dirty Russians, and he later told me that story, and I'm like, oh my gosh, was. So, needless to say, the fans were very engaged back in those, as you just attested to back in those days.
In many ways, back in those days, wrestling was a lot rougher and on the inside, but on the outside, it was a lot more innocent.
Well. And we could do probably 10 shows just talking about that.
Sure.
But I want to. There's another story that I want you to share. Just a short part of this story. When I was with you up in Raleigh, mm-hmm. you told me a story, Mark. How you literally somehow the Woolworth incident came up in Greensboro. Greensboro infamous for Woolworths, I believe, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You told me a story about buying a hot dog and chips or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to
tell that.
You know,
story.
I used to go downtown as a child. The downtown area was like our playground.
Right.
We would go downtown and we played at the government plaza there. We'd run around that place and play. There was a Western Auto downtown at one point. When we were kids, we didn't have a color television, but they had color television sets in the Western Auto that they sold. And we would go into that Western Auto and sit on the floor on Saturday mornings and watch wrestling.
Wow.
To see it in color to find out what colors the wrestlers wore.
Yeah.
What, you know, because we loved it. And But I also used to go downtown and go to the Woolworth when the lunch counter was still there. And here's the funny thing about it. When I was a kid, I had no idea what had happened there.
Yeah.
I didn't know about all the turmoil that had happened, the sit-ins. I knew nothing about any of that. But I used to go down. I'd go down. My mom would give me a dollar and I'd go down there and I'd buy a little Hot Wheels car. And I would love to see if I could find this lady, this person. But I would go down to that counter and I would sit at the counter. And it didn't matter whether I had 10 cents or whether I had 20 cents. Didn't matter what I had. I would sit at the counter. And I would set my money on the counter, and this lady would sweep it up into her hands, and she would give me a hot dog and some potato chips and a drink.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
All feet agree, Clemens Carpet is where you need to be. With carpet, vinyl, tile, and hardwood from the top brands, Clemens Carpet does it right from beginning to install. Voted number one by you in the Reader's Choice Awards. Doug, Chad, Benny, Pee-wee, and the team at Clemens Carpet look forward to seeing and serving you soon.
This is Nikita Koloff, and I want to thank Clemens Carpet for supporting my new show, Man Up, Saturday afternoon at 12:30 on the Truth Network.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
I used to sit at that counter and eat my food. My feet wouldn't even touch the floor when I sat on the stool because I was so small. And I sat at that counter. And when I think back on it now, I think I had no idea what happened there as a kid.
Yeah.
I had no idea the cost that people had to pay for me to be able to come in there and sit at that counter.
Yep.
And that's just always been something that's been very striking to me.
And the part of the story I remember you telling too, that it was like, I think like the very first time when you came in, you're like, and she was like, honey, what would you like? You
were
like,
I did. That's right.
I'd like a hot dog. And you're like, well, how much is it? She goes, you don't worry about
that's
that.
That's right.
You don't worry about that, right?
And you know, it just showed how much times had changed and how much water had gone under the bridge and how much of God's grace had fallen on Greensboro and other places.
Yeah.
Because there was just this older white lady, this little black kid.
Yeah.
And she just
wanted to bless you.
Right.
Yeah.
She just wanted to be nice to somebody.
Yeah. So, And for those who don't know, I mean, we're not going to go into that full story in details today, but that Greensboro, that Woolworth was instrumental in some of the very first sit-ins.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's
during,
right.
During the 60s. And
That's right.
And
it was a flashpoint.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Oddly enough, I've been connected since I got into this whole thing. I've been connected with a gentleman named Clarence Henderson. He was one of the first to sit at that lunch counter.
Wow.
He was one of the original first that sat there at the lunch counter.
Wow.
And, he's a great man, and we appreciate his sacrifice. And I think about that often. I really do.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Let me shift gears here a little bit. So you're the lieutenant governor of North Carolina.
Yep.
And of course, you a couple years ago, there was a video that went viral. I guess you were talking at like a school
City
board?
Council.
City council.
Yep.
And this video goes viral, and And the next thing we know, Mark Robinson's lieutenant governor of North Carolina. But so two-part question. Was politics growing up as a kid ever something you thought you would get into? And or you're very, I'll use the word outspoken, even in your faith. And boy, that just seems like two polar opposite ends of the world in the world of politics. So first, how do you blend your faith together in that world? And was politics something you thought about as a kid growing up and getting involved in?
Oh, no. And and growing up, we never talked about politics in our house, ever. We never talked about Republican or Democrat. We just never talked about it. Here's what we talked about as children. We talked about what was, and this is the absolute truth. My brothers and sisters can attest to this. We talked about what was right. We talked about what was wrong. And we talked about what was fair. And then we talked about what God said about it. And it always, the conversation always went back to what God said about it. Always. That was always our moral compass. What did God say about the situation? We had our opinions. We had our beliefs. We thought about what was right and wrong and what was fair and unfair. But what did God say about it? And that is how we literally were raised. And because of that, I believe that is why I've always been a conservative. Because, I tell people all the time, I didn't become a conservative. I was raised as a conservative.
Gotcha.
I was raised to believe in the principles that I hold dear now. I did not become a what I call politically aware until I was a young adult, and actually came because of a conversation that I had with a friend of mine about a fellow named Rush Limbaugh. And I had one opinion of him, he had another, and I set out to prove him wrong, and I actually ended up proving to myself that I believed everything that this guy was talking about. And that's when I became what I would call politically aware.
Okay. Yes. Well, you bring up a very interesting point for all of our listeners out there, and that is this. Like, I have people like, I do a lot of men's camps and conferences and minister. And in fact, I was blessed to be able to see you at a tent revival in Statesville, North Carolina. And just, man, you brought the word. You say you were brought up in it. It was evident that night, Mark. Well, it was obvious and such a powerful anointed word. And that is to the word of God, what you just illustrated. Hey, we can all have our opinions and what we feel is right and wrong. But at the end of the day, what does the word of God say, right?
That's exactly right.
Even when I go out and preach, I'm like, look, don't just take my word. Just come and stand up here on a platform holding this microphone at a pulpit. You go make sure that what I'm saying is in the Bible. Because at the end of the day, that's what's most important is
that's the word of God. That's right.
So how do you, the firestorms have to, be all around you when you're such a man of deep faith and in the world of politics. How do you navigate that, Mark? How do you navigate that?
Well, I have a great team of people around me. I have my wife, of course. I didn't mention my wife when I was talking about my family, but I've been married for 33 years now.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. What's her name?
Her name is Yolanda.
All right.
And she's been more or less my compass in life.
Yeah.
She's the top of the list of the team of people that I have around me. And then I have a great group of people around me who guide me politically, because that is very important to have people around you who understand the political winds and understand how to navigate those political waters. But ultimately what it comes down to is understanding what you have to do. And having the courage to do the right thing and being able to make decisions sometimes that are very tough, but ultimately are going to benefit people in the best way and get the things done that you want to get done. As far as the faith part goes, that's just something that, as some people may say, that's a hill I'm willing to die on. Because I tell you what, somebody died on a hill for me. That's something that we're unwavering on, because I think what we've seen a lot in this nation is people of our faith, of the Christian faith, we are always the ones that are being told that we need to stand down, back down, relent, give up compromise our positions. No other religions are being told that.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page.
Nikita Koloff fans, and like it and follow today.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
No other religion, and nobody's standing up and telling any other religion that you need to give up the tenets of your faith to fit into modern society. It's always the Christian that is being told that. And I think Christians need to be bold, and they need to tell people that this nation would not be established and would not be as successful as it is and would not be as blessed as it is if it was not for the men and women who had the wisdom of God and followed the wisdom of God to build this nation. And so we need to stand up and declare that we're not going to back up off of our values for anyone.
Man, well, that's a great word. In fact, we parallel there in that I'm, you know, constantly telling people, be bold, as you just said, which you are. You are so bold. That's what I appreciate about you. Be bold. Speak the truth, God's truth. Tell people in love. And then I like to add, sprinkle it with some grace, right? Sprinkle it with some grace so that they can really see the love of Jesus that's in our hearts, right? And it's evident. I mean, you ooze Jesus in what you do. Let me ask you this. We only got just a couple minutes here left here, but man, the time has gone so fast, but I appreciate what you just said. A lot of people see, you know, the governor's right out front there, and they kind of see, but just give a 60-second glimpse of the role of a lieutenant governor, because a lot of people see the governor, but lieutenant governor.
Lieutenant governor, I'm the president of the Senate. I preside over the Senate. I sit on the state school board. I sit on the board of community colleges, the Energy Policy Council. I have a number of other duties that I have to take on as well. But one of the best things about this position is that we kind of get to decide our own agenda while we're in office. And we decided when I first stepped into office that the thing that we would focus on the most was education, because we feel like education is the key to the future for our state and our nation. And so that's where we have put most of our effort in this position, is trying to make sure that students in North Carolina are being taught what they need to succeed. And that's our focus right now.
Well, and I know that, or I feel confident to say that people are encouraging you. I heard your answer in Statesville about whether or not to run for governor, and you're like, we'll let the Lord decide and direct that path, right?
Yes.
And still stand there on that point.
Right? I do, and it looks like he is pushing us in that direction, and you know, it's an obvious direction for us to go in.
Yeah.
The seat is going to be open, and we feel like on the opposite side of the aisle from us, the top candidate on the opposite side of the aisle will not be good for North Carolina. And so we feel like more than likely we're going to move in that direction.
Well, for all of you out there in listening land, I want to encourage you to pray for our Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, and just covered with his angel, with God's angels. And I would encourage you and or challenge you to take to heart what Mark just said about standing up, rising up as Christ followers, being bold in your faith, and not backing down, right, Mark?
That's right. That's right.
So I can't thank you enough for you coming in the studio today and sharing just some of your life story, man.
Absolutely.
Being a wrestling fan, you said you could probably have 100 stories. I'm sure.
I could. If I bought my sister, I'd have 1,000. Yep.
Well. 30 seconds. Put a challenge out there to men and women, Christ followers. Put a 30-second challenge out there.
The challenge is, now is the time for us to stand up. We see all the craziness that's going on. I mean, all you got to do is turn your television on, and you see absolute chaos. Not just here, not just around the world, but right here at home. Things that are going on in our schools, things that are going on in our business world, things that are going on in our politics. Now is the time for people of goodwill and good faith and good wisdom to stand up and make their voices heard so that we can make a better world for our children. So.
Well, you heard it right here. And I just want to say, too, you could probably sense with Mark's story, just his how passionate he is, one, about the Lord, and then secondly, in addition to that, just his position in government and whatever your position is out in the marketplace, government, as a teacher, whatever role you may find yourself in, a stay-at-home mom, every role is important. And so I just encourage you today, just center your heart, center your gaze on Jesus, and tune in next time for another great show on the Man Up Show with Nikita Koloff. God bless you.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
This is the Truth Network.